summary. The Bible says, and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Father, I had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in the book of Acts talking about Stephen and his defense. And part of Stephen's defense is he's going to take Israel back in history, amen, and talk about the patriarchs. And he's already talked about Abraham. And so right now he's talking about Joseph, amen. It just so happens that as he's talking about these patriarchs, amen, we're being taken back, amen, on a fantastic voyage and just learning about who we are and our history. And I don't want to shortchange that, amen. And so as he talks about Joseph, amen, I'm going in, all right? And we just learning all about Joseph and all about, amen, his walk with the Lord and his struggles, amen. And so to begin with, we had like three initial points. We talked about how Joseph's brothers were moved with envy. And they were jealous of Joseph, with a hatred mixed with jealousy. They were jealous that he was more righteous than them, that his father had a particular love for him. They were jealous because of generational bondage they had inherited, hallelujah, between Leah and Rachel. They had this hate in them, because of what Joseph had, his coat of many colors. They were also jealous and hated him because of his dreams. The hate got so much, amen, got so bad and so bitter that they sold him into Egypt. They threw him in a pit, and they waited for some Ishmaelites to pass. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites went to Egypt, and they sold him on the slave auction block in Egypt. But the Bible says, in spite of all that, God was with him. Somebody say, God was with him. So he was sold to the house of Potiphar. Huh? But in Potiphar's house, he was a prosperous man. He was a successful man. He was so successful that Potiphar made him ruler over everything that was in his house. The only thing is that Joseph, being a Hebrew, amen, he was fine. Somebody say he was fine. Yeah, he was fine. He was handsome. He was fine, amen. And Potiphar's wife put her eyes upon Joseph. And she tried to solicit him to commit adultery with her. She said, lie with me. And Joseph couldn't do it. Joseph said, how can I do this sin? Not only against Potiphar, who's been good to me, but against my God, who's been great to me. And so Potiphar refused, and he refused day after day. And one day, amen, she caught him in the house when he was alone. Some people, like Josephus, said she stayed home from a feast where everybody left, and Joseph was coming in to do his work, and she caught him by the garment, by his coat, and she said, lie with me. But Joseph still wouldn't do it, and he got out of his coat, and he ran. And so she grabbed his coat, and she lied. She says, listen, he came in to rape me, to force himself upon me. And it was nothing but the devil, because the devil is a liar. She was the one trying to force herself on Joseph. But it was the second time that one of Joseph's coats would be used against him. Huh? And so, hallelujah, Potiphar gets home, and he believes his wife, his Jezebel of a wife. He believes her. He takes Joseph, amen, arrests him, and throw him into the prison. But God was still with him, even in the prison. And Joseph worked hard in the prison. He didn't get down on himself. He didn't get bitter. He got better. And he continued to just press after God and press after excellence. And as it is, all cream rise straight to the top. And Joseph became the head in the prison as well. He led everything. The prisoner, the warden didn't even look out for anything. He gave everything to Joseph. Amen. And Joseph was prosperous even in prison. Well, listen, we're going to continue this morning in talking about Joseph. We'll have 3 points, and we'll cover those 3 points once again over a few week period, all right? The first point is delivered him out. The second point, in the sight of Pharaoh. The third point, governor over Egypt. That's our 3 points. We'll cover the first point this morning. It's probably going to be just part of the first point, all right? So let's look at it. Delivered him out. And we get it from 7:10. And delivered him, delivered Joseph out. God delivered Joseph out of all his afflictions and gave a favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, right now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. If you don't have your Bible, I'm going to put it up there on the screen. Hallelujah. But if you have it, just turn there because we'll be there, amen, for the rest of the service. Genesis chapter 40. And in Genesis chapter 40, the Bible is going to tell us exactly how God delivered Joseph out of all of his afflictions and all of his trials. You see? Hallelujah. Here we go. Just say amen when you get there. Hallelujah. Here we go. Genesis 40 and verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things, after the slavery, after being put in prison, that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So the Bible says, y'all, after these things, and is after Joseph is in prison, what happens? Amen. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt. Well, who's the king of Egypt? It's no other than Pharaoh, right? Well, what did the butler and the baker of Pharaoh do to him? They offended him, the Bible says. Now, saints of God, we really don't know exactly how they offended Pharaoh. We don't know, all right? And everything we do is merely speculation, all right? But one of the commentators say that Pharaoh was eaten on one occasion, and somebody tried to poison him. Somebody tried to poison him. And I'm not saying that this is it, but it's a likely scenario that could have happened. You could put whatever you want on that, amen, but this is a scenario that could have happened. Since Pharaoh didn't exactly know who poisoned him, he boiled it down to two people who handled his food. It would either be the butler that took care of his cup or the baker who took care of his plate. And so the Bible says in the next verse, verse 2 of chapter 40, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers. That word wroth means angry, really upset. And Pharaoh said, how in the world are they going to try to kill me when I've been good to them and exalted them as officers in my kingdom? Huh? And look at verse 3. Because he was upset, verse 3, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard. Hallelujah. And it tells us what in ward means. He put them into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, I like this right here. I like this. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that he put both of them in jail. You know, sometimes you don't know who's guilty. Amen. So you put them both in jail until you can investigate and settle the score. And that's what Pharaoh does. He puts them both in jail. All right, but he didn't put him in any jail. You got to look close at your Bible in this verse. He put him in the prison, hallelujah, where the Bible says the place where Joseph was bound. Huh? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God is working. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, God is on the move. Yeah. You see, because he could have put him anywhere. But he put the butler and the baker in the same prison where Joseph was. It's a move of God. And you see, you need to know in here, Philadelphia, that God is working even when we're not. All right? All right? Even right now, while you're sitting down in church, guess what's happening right now? God is working in your favor. He's working. He's working right now. All right? You got a particular situation going on, and here you go. You're like, man, I don't have time to sit in church and be away from that situation. Now, you can sit down. You can rest yourself. Hey, God, you can even go to sleep at night because our God neither sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. Our God is working even when we're not. And I love that Jesus talks about this. Huh? Jesus says, it's one of my favorite verses. He says, my Father worketh, he'd hear to. Because one of the philosophies of wicked men was, and still is that God sets things in motion and then he backs up and he's not doing anything anymore. Oh, no. We don't serve a lazy God. We don't serve a sitting down God. We don't serve an unmoved mover. We serve a God who's moving even right now while we in church. Somebody say, God is on the move. God is on the move. He's working it out. He's working it out. Joseph don't know it, but he's working it out. I wonder how many in here, sitting in here, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is working in your favor right now, doing things that you don't even know. Hallelujah. That's what he's doing for Joseph. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And it seemed like every song, that almost every song was about God working. Huh? Even the one, hallelujah, the praise and dance team came out. He's working it out. He's working it out. It's a working God that we serve. Hallelujah. He causes all things to do what? To work together. It only worked together because he's working. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is on the move. The Bible says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them in verse 4. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. I love this right here. All right. What you need to know is that the captain of the guard is nobody else than Potiphar. All right. If you go back to chapter 39, amen, around verse 1, it'll describe Potiphar. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, he's what? He's the captain of the guard. And in chapter 40, it tells us that the baker and the butler were put in the same prison with Joseph, but they were not only put in the same prison with Joseph, but somebody named the captain of the guard took the baker and the butler and not only put them in the same prison, but put them under the charge, under the care, under the responsibility. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Of Joseph. Now, listen here. God is on the move. Because it's one thing to be in the same prison with the baker and the butler of Pharaoh. Hallelujah. And maybe one day you'll see him as y'all going to the mess hall, as y'all going to eat. Huh? Maybe you'll see him. But nah, Potiphar put them in the responsibility, in the care of Joseph. You see? Because Joseph knows the rope in prisons. He knows the ropes in prison. Huh? And these fellas are all royal. Amen. They need somebody to take care of them. And Joseph knows how it goes in prison. He's going to take care of them. All right? And when I look at this, I say, boy, God is at work. That God will use Potiphar, who put Joseph in prison, to help Joseph out while Joseph is in prison. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. And people that used to try to hurt you and harm you and talk about you and put you down will be the same ones God will turn around and use or be the key to spring you out. Anybody hear me up in here? That's why there's no need to hate your enemies. Because God is going to make your enemies your foot. Oh, come on, somebody. He's going to use them to step you up, give you a promotion. He used Potiphar. All right. And some of the theologians, I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, he'll use your enemy. The people who hurt you the worst, he'll use them to bless you the most. Who is that in your life? Huh? That spouse, that baby mama, that baby daddy, that boss on the job, that teacher at school. I'm telling you here, you can't curse what God had blessed. Every time every time they tried to curse Israel, it turned into a blessing. I speak that upon you right now in the name of Jesus. Every voodoo, hoodoo, black magic, every liar, every gossip upon your life, every curse causeless shall not fall upon you, and it shall not prosper. No weapon gonna prosper. No weapon gonna prosper. And every chicken leg they shake at you gonna bless you. Every time they bury something in your front yard, you're going to increase in wealth and health and blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree it on you in Jesus' name. The curse causeless shall not fall. Yeah. He used Potiphar, the very vessel that put him in prison. Matthew Henry says that he not only used Potiphar in that regard, but he says that when you see Potiphar do this, hallelujah, and entrust royalty, the butler and the baker, to Joseph, it says something about him and Joseph's relationship. Matthew Henry say that Joseph and Potiphar, amen, that this action was a sign that Joseph and Potiphar had reconciled their relationship. Like it was good. It was good. Because Potiphar, amen, hallelujah, I'm telling you here, he knew one of them boys was innocent. Potiphar knew one of the boys was innocent. And it's a setup. And Potiphar is saying, listen, Joseph, I can't bring you back home because Jezebel back over there. But in my spirit, I know that you didn't do what they say you did. I never saw that in you. You never gave no inclination of that. Now I believed her and I messed up, but let me try to hook you up from my mess up, and I'm going to put some great people around you. Matthew Henry said it was reconciliation. The relationship was fixed. You see? Because he blessed Joseph with this. All right? Somebody say, God is at work. Yeah. Even though you can't see him, he's working. He's working. Holy Ghost say, stop right there. Wait, stop right there. He's working. Oh, woman of God, he's working on your husband, whether you could see him working or not. He's working. Hallelujah. Man of God, he's working on your wife, whether you could see him or not. Somebody say, God is working. God is working. God is working. He's working on your finances right now, whether you could see him working or not. He's moving some things around while you sitting down. God is at work. I'm telling you here. Joseph couldn't see it. Joseph couldn't see it. Let me tell you what else. Hallelujah. You can't see him working, but he's working on that child right now. He's working on that child right now. You can't see him. You can't see him. He's working on it. You can't see him working on your body, but he's working on your health. God is at work. He's on the move, saints. He's on the move. And listen to me. Listen, during this fasting time, I woke up and I told my wife, I said, man, you feel that? You hear that? You see that? Huh? I said, they got something going on. I said, I could tell the church is fasting. I could feel it. I could feel it, breakthrough happening all around us, TP. Breakthrough happening. God is on the move. And I get on the phone with TP, and he said, oh, God is at work. God is a compliment. God is working right now during these 21 days. And don't you miss that God is working. Don't you miss it. Look up to the hills from which cometh your help. Don't let God be working for everybody else and not working for you. Put yourself in position. Get your mind right. Get out of the gutter. Stop fussing. Stop worrying. Stop thinking about your problems. Come on, come on. Tap your neighbor. Say, he's working, and he's working for me. Yeah. He's working, and he's working for me. He's working, and he's working for me. Yeah. Because you see, life and death is out of the power of the tongue. And when you speak those things in church, we don't do that just for nothing. But when you say it, hallelujah, you're declaring it, amen. And your words, amen, will go before you. And God will use that as faith, amen. Oh, man, I'm trying to. He's working for me. He's working for me. He's leaning in my direction. He's leaning in my direction right now. He's working it out. I can't see it. I might not even feel it, but he's working it out in my finances, on my job. Bible says in 5, verse 5, it says, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So the butler and the baker under Joseph's care. They're in the same prison of Joseph, under Joseph's care, and they both dream a dream. You got to know that this is God. They both dream a dream. Hallelujah. They dream a dream, both of them, about their impending future in one night. They both wake up. Right? In one night. Right? They both dream a dream. All right? They're in the same prison of Joseph. They're in Joseph's care. They both dream a dream in one night, and they're under the care of somebody that they used to call the dreamer. You hear me, Keith? He's working it out. All right. Come on, somebody. Look at the next verse, verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning. He came to check on them and do what he got to do, taking care of them, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Now, wait 1 second right there. You see, if Joseph was selfish, he would have never saw that they were sad. If Joseph was only worried about him, amen, he would come in there, do his thing, not looking at nobody, just worried about getting his shine on. He would have never noticed that they were sad. Watch this, prophet. Watch this. Love is the answer. Love is the answer. That's why he said the greatest of all these is love. That's why he said love never fails. Love is the answer. That's why it's the greatest commandment, love one another. That's why our faith is built upon it. That's why our Savior came with the greatest expression of it. Greater love had no man than this, and a man would lay down his life for his friends. Nobody could love like him. And he told us, as I love you, love one another. I'm telling you something here. Joseph was a man of love. He was administrative, but he also loved and cared about people. We could tell he loved and cared about people because he was walking through and he saw that they were sad. If he didn't care, he would have just kept moving. I don't care about them. I'm trying to get mine. But your love for people will open doors for you and put you in places that you would not be in your regular talent and gifts. Love is the answer. If you're going to strive for anything in this faith, strive for love. If you're going to pray for anything in the body of what we call Christendom, strive for love. Listen, in all of 1 Corinthians 13, he said, yeah, go for the gift, but let me show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You got a lot of people in the church worry about a lot of other things. But loving one another. Watch this, Braylon. Watch this. If he wouldn't have loved the baker and the butler, he would have never noticed they were sad. If he wouldn't have asked them, what's wrong with you? They would have never told him the dream. If they wouldn't have told him the dream, he wouldn't have interpreted the dream. If he wouldn't interpret the dream, he would have never got in front of Pharaoh. If he never got in front of Pharaoh, he wouldn't be raised to VP of Egypt. Listen to me. It all started with love. He cared about somebody else besides himself. Somebody say, Lord, help me to love somebody. That's where it's at, man. That's where it's at. If we Hebrews can get this and stop acting like crabs in a bucket. Stop acting like we're competing against one another and that we would love one another, be happy when each other get blessed, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Maybe, just maybe, God will put us where we need to be. Joseph, he was a man of love. He noticed them. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And Joseph, hallelujah, and the Bible says in verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? He said, why you down, bro? You understand what I'm saying? Why you so sad? Why you melancholy? You know, what's going on? You see the love? You see the affection? Huh? I wonder how many people in here pass up an opportunity to love their neighbor and pass up a blessing. And pass up a blessing. Huh? Your blessing might be sitting next to you in church. You see them crying, you see them hurting, amen. But you get up, amen, after church, you leave, you don't tell nobody nothing. Huh? You don't even say, what's up? You don't say, what's wrong? Can I pray with you? Huh? Philly, you got to understand there's some people in here that I'm going to miss. Some people in here I'm going to miss. But you can catch them. You can get them. You can make sure that they get what they need. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Hallelujah. He said, what's wrong? What's wrong? All right. Now I want y'all to keep looking. Come on. Are we still, y'all still up? All right. Verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them, I pray you, to me, is what he's saying. All right. And I love this. All right. First thing I want to point out is that Joseph tells them that interpretations belong to God. All right. They bring a dream to the dreamer, but he tell him, he said, listen here, if I'm going to interpret y'all dream, it can't come from me. It's got to come from God. And I love the humility of Joseph. All right. One thing about your gift is, hallelujah, you got to realize that your gift come from God. All right. Any gift that you operate in, it coming from God. Remember, he's the dreamer. Okay. But he don't take any credit for his dreams or his gift of interpretation of dreams. He tells them where it come from. All right. And because of humility, when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt you in due time. Humility brings exaltation. It brings promotion. Amen. It brings honor. The Bible says, amen. If we will just get low, God will raise us up. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Now, remember, Joseph's brothers, they used to call him the dreamer. But they didn't call him the dreamer in a good way. No, Brother Brian, they used to pick on him. Oh, look, there goes the dreamer. All right? The revelation is that sometimes the very thing that people make fun of you about, God will use that to bring you before kings and great men. The very thing that they persecute you and tease you about and give you a hard time about, amen, it might just really be in the devil. hallelujah, trying to put a stumbling block, a stronghold in your life when you're young, amen, trying to talk about the way you look, the way you talk, the way you read, the way you speak. He's trying to sow a stronghold in your life because he knows that God has a plan, amen, for you. And so he is trying to give you some type of a complex. There you go with a Moses complex. The devil knows that you special to God, and you might be the one that God used to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. But he done put a complex on you because you talk a little different. You don't talk like the Egyptian kids because you're Hebrew and you got a little slang, a little slur. And so when God go to call you, now you're all self-conscious. You're all inferior. You say, God, but I can't talk. God, my mouth is slow. God say, who had made man's mouth? Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you, Kai, what you can and cannot do. He sows seeds in us young to make us fearful. And I wonder how many in here not doing something that God gave birth to them for because of some fear. Because of some fear. I don't know how I got here, but I'm here, and we're going to just sit here for a second. Huh? You have no idea how many people could really preach but can't get up because they scared of somebody. How many people could really sing, but because of fear and the trembling of their voice, hallelujah, they can't come out right? How many people, amen, could really be a good friend and a good loyal friend to men and women, but you're so scared because the devil done sowed in your life that people are not going to like you? Huh? Don't let the devil play you. You say, devil, you a liar. Come on, let me hear that. Come on, give God some glory, amen. You see, I know where I got it. Listen, because if Joseph would have took to heart them picking on him, the dreamer, he would have come to despise his gift and his dreams. The same thing that people jawn you and clown you about could be the very thing God would use to save a nation. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Yes, Joseph is a dreamer, huh? And I looked at this and I saw he's a dreamer, and the problem that the chief butler have and the baker, the problem that they have is all about dreams. Wow. Wow. This is the perfect problem for Joseph to be the perfect solution. What does this tell us about God? This tells us that God will put you in a place where your particular gift is needed. Anybody hear me up here? Oh, you should be clapping more than that. You should be clapping more than that. If you know what that means, you would be, oh, God. This means that, hallelujah, for your place of prosperity, your place of promotion, you ain't got to invent nothing or make nothing happen inside of you. It's already in you. Preaching is not something I developed. I was born with it. You go ask Ms. Rose about it. I was born with a love of the scriptures. And this is good news. Because you're like, God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? God, you're going to have to do something special. God said, I've already done it. I'm just waiting for you to tap into it. It's already there. It's like oil, Brandy. The oil is under the earth. It's not that you got to go and invent it. It's already there waiting for you. Keela, you just got to tap into it. What you are in need of for God to bring you to the next level, to bring you before kings, is already dormant in you. Are you feeling me? You see, he didn't have to put song in you. He just had to wait for you to discover it. He didn't have to put dance in you. He just was waiting for you to discover it. He didn't put, amen, administration and grit and entrepreneurial giftings in y'all. He just was waiting until you discovered it. I can go all around this room. What you need from God to propel you into the next level is already in your hand. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. What I'm saying is, he didn't have to give Joseph something new. He's not going to make the man for the problem. He develops the problem for the man. He didn't have to teach David anything new in the valley. He already knew how to handle his business with a sling and a stone. You see? But what we got to do, we got to wait for our God moment. Come on, tell your neighbor, wait for your God moment. Yeah. We all have a God moment. A time where our purpose meet with destiny and with time. And a lot of times we try to force that. We try to move beyond that and move ahead of that. God will put you in a place where your gift is needed. And you just wait for that time. And you just wait for that season. All right? They might not like you, but your gift is needed. They might think you're the wrong nationality, but your gift is needed. You might not even have the right hair, but your gift is needed. You might be the wrong height, but your gift is needed. You might be the wrong weight, but your gift is needed. You might not have the right last name, the right color skin, the right neighborhood, but your gift is needed when your gift is. When your gift is needed, they look for everybody else. And they can't find nobody else to interpret their dreams but the dream. The Bible says, your gift gonna make room for you. Stop making room for your gift. Stop making room for your gift. Stop trying to push your way into things. Stop being a manipulator. Stop twisting and turning a situation to make it work out for you, to where you make room for your gift. You got in there. Your gift didn't make room for you. They didn't say, oh, we need something that we don't have. Come on up, because you're the only one that can do it. You see, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want, hallelujah, a need to arise that only your gift can fill. And they look out, Nolan, I'm telling you, they look out and they say, nobody else could do it. Nobody else could do it, see? Your gift. It make room. It make room. He's going to create a situation where your gift will be the only key that opened the door. Hey! John, I'm telling you, John, what does that look like, huh? What that look like on the job? Nobody else can run the store but you. Huh? That look like in ministry, hallelujah, ain't nobody going to be able to teach or preach like you. That mean, hallelujah, in song, hallelujah. Listen, we can't find another voice like yours. We need this particular voice. In the dance, listen, hallelujah, a void comes up. We don't have nobody else to run it. Can you run it? Amen. What does that look like? Look like Joseph. They have a dream, and they have no interpreter. Wait on your gift to make room for you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! 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 This is powerful, saints. This is powerful. When you understand this, it's going to take you around the world, because your gift will make room for you and bring you before kings, before great men. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Now watch me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here it is. So in 9 through 11, the chief butler tells Joseph his dream. Who told Joseph the dream? All right, pay attention to that. That's important. And I'm going to just kind of just give you the dream so we can move on quickly. The dream was, amen, he saw a vine, 3 branches, ripe grapes, and he had Pharaoh's cup in his hand. He filled Pharaoh's cups up with the fruit of the vine, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh. That was his dream. It was easy. Three branches, ripe grapes, Pharaoh's cup in his hand, give it to Pharaoh. That was his dream. And in verse 13, Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days, somebody say 3 days, shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. Joseph told him, okay, I see your dream. Amen. And I understand it. He told him in 3 days, you're going to be back the chief butler again. You're going to be restored. The devil, listen, God going to make the devil restore everything that he took away from you. Huh? In 3 days. All right? Yo, that was the butler's word. All right? That was his word. And he needed that word. He was in prison, locked up for something he didn't do. It was dark. Amen. It was like, man, I could be killed for this. How many people ever needed a word before? All right? Look, I need a word. And he have a dream, and Joseph delivered a word to him. Joseph said, fret not, man. Fret not. God is working. Hallelujah. You might not see it, and it might not look like it, but in 3 days, you're going to be back where you was. That's the word Joseph gave him. You know how confident that was to the butler? You know how the butler must say, whew, thank you, Jesus. Huh? All right? But look what Joseph tell the butler. He says in 14, he says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. And God arrested me right there. He said, look at that verse. Look at that verse closely. He says, think on me. And God showed me that this was the same thing that the thief told Jesus on the cross. In fact, I would go as far as to say that God showed me that because this is the exact place where the thief got it from. He on the cross next to Jesus, and Jesus is dying for the sins of the world. Huh? He died not for himself, he's dying for us because we sinners. We deserve death, but we needed a Savior. And without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. So Jesus is up there handling his business, dying for the sins of the world. One thief is cutting up, clowning, and John and Jesus. Amen. But the other thief is like, nah, we here because we deserve to be here admitting his sin. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. He's here because he's done nothing wrong. Believing in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As Lord and Savior. And then, see, he confesses Jesus. Lord. Oh, God, that dude that just got saved on the cross. He said, Lord. He said, remember me. Ah. He got that from Joseph. He's quoting the Lord's word right back to him. He got that from Genesis. Amen. He said, Lord, think on me. Think on me. Think on me. Think on me when it's well with you. He was quoting the word of God back to the word of God. He was. Hey, God. Hey, God. He said, Lord. He was saying, Lord, remember me when you enter in your kingdom. Joseph was telling the butler the same thing. Think on me when it's well with you, when you're back in the kingdom. When you're back at the right hand of Pharaoh serving his cup, when you're back in your place where you left. Hey, butler, think on me. You see how deep the thief on the cross, his confession was a systematic theology of who Jesus was. Remember me when you get in your kingdom. Well, you, that means that you knew I came from a kingdom. And that means you know that after I die, I'm going to rise on the third day. And that means that I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father, just like the butler was at the right hand of Pharaoh. Ooh, goodness. Jesus looked at that faith and said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. I wonder how many in here have enough faith in Jesus. Have enough faith in Jesus to say, Lord, remember me when you get in your kingdom. Yeah. This is what Joseph said to the butler. He said, think on me when it shall be well with thee. Now, let's keep moving. Now, if the butler listens to Joseph, Joseph would have got blessed, but it would have been a half blessing. A quarter blessing. A 10% kind of blessing. It would have been a man blessing and not a God blessing. How many people know we could bless ourselves? How many people know that? We could finagle our way and bless ourselves. I'm here to tell you, wait for God to bless you. Woo! Wait for God to bless you. Because Joseph tells him, Joseph said, listen, think upon me. Hallelujah. Go ahead, work something out for me. Give me the hookup. Hallelujah. And spring me out of jail. Remember me. It was a good statement. Amen. It was a good statement. But God had better plans. Amen. Oh, I'm working. If the butler would have told Pharaoh about Joseph as soon as he got out, he probably would have been released from prison. And Joseph would have went home. He would have been back with his brothers, cutting up, conniving. They would have probably hated him even more since he was back. The famine would have hit the land like it did. Egypt would have died. Israel would have died. And countless others would have died. And Joseph wouldn't have been a small as savior of Israel, of Egypt, and the known world, because he was the reason, as we shall see, that he was the reason that, hallelujah, everybody in the known world was delivered from this famine. Because God used this dreamer, hey God, to store up some food. If the butler would have listened to Joseph and got Joseph out of jail, Joseph would have never done the great things that God had predestined him to do. Come on, tap your neighbor and say, God has better plans. But pastor, what does this have to do with me? You see, you got a plan for yourself. And you have a dream. And you have a way that you want things to work out. But I'm here to tell you that God has better plans for you. All right? And sometimes when things don't work out the way that we planned it, when the deal don't come through, when the house, amen, is not purchased, when the car is not, hallelujah, gotten, when we don't marry the man we think we want, we don't marry the woman we think we want, when we don't get the child when we want it, hey, God, I'm trying to tell you here, hallelujah, we get upset with God, Noel. It ain't working out like we thought it should work out. And that's how Joseph was. He said, remember me now. Remember me. I got it all planned out. Hallelujah. You're going to get springed out in 3 days according to the vision. And when you get out, you talk to Pharaoh. You tell Pharaoh just this and that and the other. Pharaoh going to spring me out. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to work hard. I might pay you back. He had it all planned out. I wonder how many of us have that kind of plan. Where we say, God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we leave no room for God. We leave no room for God. Yeah, write the vision and make it plain. But put under that GSS. You know what GSS means? God say the same. God say the same. Why? Because listen, God has a better plan. God had a better plan for Joseph, y'all. You know, when I look back over my life and I think things over? Huh? You know, Janice, I had a bunch of plans for me. Had a bunch of plans for me. Huh? My practice, lawyering, politics. You know, I had a bunch of plans for me. Huh? And was already on the way. Had met the people that knew the people. Listen. Had a bunch of plans for my life. All right? I'm sitting in my office with people that was part of the Clinton political machine being introduced to them. You see? And I thought that was a good plan, Robin. I thought that was a great plan. I thought I'd be somewhere in D.C. right now. Huh? But that was my plan. How many people know that God had a better plan? It's like I'm telling you, man, it's like Moses' story. Moses could have stayed in Pharaoh and enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. But God had a different plan for Moses. And Philly, God got a different plan for us. Sure, we could have content ourselves with being the biggest black church in Lafayette. Sure, we could have content ourselves with doing our thing, amen, and continue to do this. But no, he had another plan for us. We would be the church that would help awaken the people of the Most High God. We would be the church of the Hebrews, the church. Hallelujah. That's what we would be. And when I look back over my life again, I say, God, I almost made a wrong turn. God, I would have been in that system. God, I'd have been with the pedophiles. I'd have been with the satanic Luciferians. God, I'd have been a part of that system right there. That system not to release the people, but to bind the people. I would have been a part of the puppet show when you wanted me to be one of the exposers. Somebody say, God has better plans. I wonder about your life this morning. And what you mad at God for? Huh? I tell you, I could see Joseph down there mad, upset with God. You see? But God had a better plan. Listen, I'm telling you here. And it don't take much, y'all. It don't take much. Look where you are now and think about your plans back then. Think about that woman you wanted to marry. Oh, I love her. Now you look on the side and the one you got, you say, oh, God, thank you didn't listen to me. Thank you did not listen to me. All that old man that you thought was the one. And you're like, thank you, Lord. It can go as far as the house you thought you wanted. I can remember me and my wife riding by houses and listen, there's a lot of places we done anointed and he done gave us. A lot of places we done asked for and he done gave us. But there's also been some homes where he done said, no, because you don't know what you're asking for. If you knew what I knew, you wouldn't even want this place. So I'm going to tell you no, not to hurt you, but to help you. Am I lying? We pass by one all the time. We laugh sometimes. Oh, you remember when we wanted that house? How many people ever wanted something that they glad God said no? Oh, God. Come on, tap your neighbor. Come on, tap your neighbor. Say, God has better plans. Yeah. Speaking on them. You're decreeing it now. You're decreeing it now. Life and death. All right? You might not understand it, but he's working it out. All right? Most of the time, all we got to do is wait. Joseph wanted an instantaneous release. But God had better plans, but it was going to take a little time. All right? In Psalm 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and while you wait, be of good courage. Don't complain, don't cut up, amen. Just bite your tongue and wait. Wait and be of good courage. Don't fear, amen, because God, hallelujah, he's going to deliver. Amen? Let God be true and every man be a liar. You can trust on his word, forever his word is settled in heaven. You see, his promises are yes and amen. Just wait on him and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. In Psalm 25:3, in the English Standard Version, I love this. I changed the version, amen, just so you could see it in here, amen. Hallelujah. You know I love that King James. But look what he says. Indeed, none who wait for you, God, shall be put to shame. Isn't that a promise? There's not a single one who's waited upon the Lord that can come up and say, God didn't deliver, or that I'm shamed. Oh, no. God will deliver. He's either going to deliver what you want or something better than what you want because he has better plans. But rest assured, he will deliver. I'm telling you here, Psalm 37:34, we can go on and on. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. So while you're waiting, not only be a good courage, not only don't murmur, but keep his way. Stay obedient. And don't veer to the left or to the right. Don't say, God didn't do it for me, so I'm not going to serve him. Don't you dare catch a believer's tantrum. Wait and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. David says in Psalm 40:1, I waited patiently for the Lord. And what did the Lord do, David? He inclined unto me. He leaned. He inclined. He's leaning in my direction. He inclined unto me. And he heard my cry. And our favorite scripture, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord, PCA, hallelujah, PCA scripture, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Just wait on God. He has a better plan for you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We talk about how God delivers Joseph out of all of his afflictions. Look at verse 15. Here it is. For indeed, I was stolen away. This is Joseph talking. Out of the land of the Hebrews. I love that, the land of the Hebrews, huh? That's something that we don't hear too much. But you need to know Hebrews. We do have a land, the land of the Hebrews. I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. That's our story too. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. All right, so Joseph says he was stolen away from where? From the land of the Hebrews, amen, and they put him in the dungeon. All right, now you need to understand that this is the first time that Joseph shares his heart about his afflictions and his trials in the Bible. We see Joseph thrown in the pit, sold into slavery, in Potiphar's house, he's in the prison, and we don't hear a peep out of Joseph as recorded in Scripture. He's a man, I'm telling you, after God's own heart, made out of iron, all right? So he doesn't complain. He doesn't murmur. This is the first time after he interprets the butler's dream and says, think on me when you get out. Amen. He tells him, listen, hallelujah, I don't belong here. I was stolen away, and I was put in this dungeon. Amen. And Joseph, amen, like all of us, we get to a place where we need to just let it out. All right. Somebody say, let it out. All right. Especially the men sometimes. We take a lot. And some of the ladies too. We take a lot. All right. But there come a point in time where you got to let it out. You got to open your mouth. You got to say it. All right. And you ain't got to fuss and fight about it. And I love the way Joseph does it. He does it in a holy way. If you look closely at Joseph's statement, Joseph really, he don't really even talk about the people who did him wrong. Some of us would be naming everybody. And Reuben and Judah. And he just say that. What? How does he say it? You see how, oh God, how admirable he says this. He says, I was stolen away. But who stole you? That's not the point. I was stolen away, our land of Hebrews. And here, also, I've done nothing wrong that I should be put in this dungeon. Who put you in the dungeon? He never mentioned Potiphar. He never mentioned Potiphar's wife. He doesn't mention his brothers. He don't even mention the people who do him wrong. He vents, but he's not focused on the vessels. There's a word. God help us to be like Joseph. You see? Let me give you a word. Stop seeing the people who hurt you. Stop seeing them. Stop seeing them. Stop talking about them. Stop allowing them to be part of your story. In fact, write them out your story. Don't even mention them. Don't mention the ones who put you there. Just, oh God. You see, because it's not. What's more important than what they do to you is what you do. Did you catch that? And I know they did you wrong, but that's not as important as what you do in response to that. Oh, come on, somebody. I know there's some daddies did you wrong, some mamas did you wrong, right? I'm telling you, man. I listen to some of y'all stories and I sit back and I just listen. I say, he got a daddy problem. He mad at his dad. That's why he got an uncontrollable temper. He mad at his daddy. She mad at her mama. He's still mad at that woman that cheated on him. And she's still mad for that man that abandoned him. And if we're not careful, we can have misplaced anger. And carry that anger when we're really mad at him who did us wrong. And God got somebody else in our life that want to do us right. We misplace that anger on the person that did us wrong to the people who love us. And you'll know it because it don't make sense. It don't make sense how mad you get. And you remember what I said. Oh, and when you see him blow up, you say, oh, you stop the argument. You say, oh, baby. You say, wait, baby, wait. I left the butter out. Why are you mad like that? Oh, no, 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 no. You ain't mad at me, baby. No, 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 no. Sit down, baby. Sit down. Sit down. No, 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 no. You're mad at somebody else. Yeah, I ain't did you that. I ain't did you that. Somebody else did you that. Let's sit down. Let's talk about that. Vent to me. Tell me what's going on. Vent to me until you can get to a place where you can write them out your story. He writes them out his story. He don't see him no more. You don't see him no more. All right? What you saying, Pastor? Talk about it. Get it out. But it should come a point in time where the people that did you wrong, you're not talking about them no more. They don't even come up in your conversation. You're not talking about them anymore. It's done. Somebody say, I am finished. Let them do what they want to do. You don't even mention them. You see? Lord, teach us to deal with our enemies so graciously and deal with our problems so wisely. Look at verse 16. We almost done. Y'all still up out there? When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. Stop right there. Stop right there. I can't go on. I can't go on. Watch this tree. Now, it was two people now. The butler and who? Now, who asked for the interpretation first? The butler. When the baker saw that the interpretation was. He never asked before. Come on, Parker, you're going to like this one. He never asked before. But when he saw that the interpretation was. You see, some people just want to hear from God when it's. I'm telling you, that's all they want. That's all they want. They want a good word, a blessing word, a kind word, a soft word. Oh, God, tell me how great you think I am. And he didn't submit himself to hear Joseph until he saw that the interpretation was good. Now, wait. What you need to know is that that's a bad characteristic to have. Right? You should not want to hear from your God only when he got nice things to say to you. It's a terrible characteristic. It's a terrible character. It is terrible. It's indicative of something that's wrong on the inside. How do you know that? Well, fast forward. The baker is the one who tried to poison Pharaoh. And he the one that don't want to hear the truth. And don't want a tough word. And a lot of times when people don't want a tough word, it's because they're doing things that they don't want the word to shine to. You feeling the anointing yet? All right? And so when you got the husband or wife that, oh, I don't like the word, your intentions are good. What you doing? Because when you get in the presence of the word, the truth shines a light. All right? Now, if you're a man about your business, all right, and none of us perfect, you should know that. And you should know that since none of us perfect, every single one of us in this place gets the light shined on us. Every single one of us. All right? You have no idea how many people come up to me. You were talking about me, huh? I had a daddy come in here, amen, and told me, my son told you what I was going through. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, he never told me anything. What was it? It was the word. The word is a light. It's a light. It's a lamp until our feet. It's a light, and it shines. How many people had the word shine on something that they was doing before? Yeah. You see, look around. It's okay. It's okay. You can come here. We are an equal opportunity offender. All right? In fact,
I'm mad that more people ain't raising their hand. I'm slipping. All right? Oh, yeah, we got to get more of them. Everybody got to feel the light, the lamp, the heat of God's word. It's what Christianity and believing and being the child of a holy king is all about. The word of God is not only there to encourage us. And that's what it's there for, to encourage us. You can do it. But it's also there to reprove us. You can. You better. Get that right, Bo. Right? That's what a real father is. That's what a real father is. And if you never had a real father, it's going to be hard for you to acclimate yourself to Father God. Because a father is not like a mama. I'm not like my wife at my house. You understand what I'm saying? I'm built different. I'm loving. You know what I'm saying? But when I walk in, I'm walking in with a different aura. I'm walking in like, you know, I hear a fuss and I'm coming in now. What's going on? Coming in like Simba up in here, Mufasa. Now you got to understand, I'm not that mean. But a father deals differently, yeah. Oh, I think my men tuned in right now. A daddy is different. Don't let them make your mama no daddy. Don't let them make your mama. I ain't no mama. Why don't you just, that's not, no. Come here, boy. Come here. I'm sorry. Because I know what he needs. It's going to come a time when I might try to do that and he bigger than me now. How did we get here? I know not. They wanted a good word. He did not get the interpretation until he saw that the interpretation was good. Don't be like that. Be like that. You got to take the love of God just like you take the chastisement of God. All right. That's indicative of something that's not, you know, you got to get your systematic right. I could tell you when you're off like that, some other things gonna be off in your life until you get that foundation correct. You see? You want us to love him and fear him. You see? Yeah. They didn't want the truth. The chief buck, he saw when the interpretation was good. He said, I also was in my dream. And behold, three white baskets was on my head. I'm going to just summarize this because of our time. You see, I had three baskets on my head. They had some meat in it. And at the end of the day, the birds was eating the meat out of my basket. Somebody said, pop bomb. Not good. All right? Not good. Remember, he's the culprit, y'all. He's the one that, if we would say, poisoned Pharaoh. Huh? He's no good. All right? So he tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph interprets it. Joseph says, in 3 days, Pharaoh will hang thee on a tree. He said, salted dog, I shouldn't have asked. Pharaoh will hang thee on a tree, and the birds you saw, the birds shall eat on you. They're going to eat on you. That wasn't chicken they was eating out that basket. 20, come on, we got 20, we almost done, we're going to finish off. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker. He brought him on stage for his birthday, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again.
on the third day, just like Joseph told him. Joseph said, listen, it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. By Thursday, you're going to be back. So when Thursday came, the butler like, that dude's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And they come get him out. And I'm not saying it was Thursday. You know what I'm saying? The calendar was different. I'm just saying so you can understand. They brought him up. And the Pharaoh said, you're restored. All right? And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. 22. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. You see? It happened just like the dream was interpreted. Verse 23, and we go in. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The chief butler was so excited when he was restored. He forgot who had helped him out while he was in jail. He was so happy. He was so celebrative. He was just cutting up. You see? Don't let that be you. Don't forget where you come from. And don't forget the people who helped you out along the way. Anybody hear me up in here? Don't be like the butler in that regard. And I say that because I see where you're going. All right? I see where you're going. I see the blessings that's coming your way, all right? And I'm going to get personal with you, all right? Don't forget your church, no. Amen. All right? When you're pulling up in that big thing outside, yeah, I'm looking at you. Don't forget your church, no. I'm going to get more particular. Don't forget your pastor, no. Because when you was locked up, Pastor brought you a word. Brought you a word. I told you in 3 days. I told you in 3 days that you was going to recover at all. That you was going to be restored. While you was down and out and everything was taken away, you didn't even know how you was going to get your head above water. Pastor brought a word. Hallelujah. Don't forget your pastor, no. Wait up, I got to look at y'all in the face now. Because when y'all get it, I'm going to remember. You hear me, Hate? Cornelius, listen now. Yeah, she's going to have it. Don't forget me now. Don't forget me now. They forgot Joseph. The butler forgot him. You know? Hallelujah. But even though they forgot him, God was still working. God was still working. God was still working. Because though the butler forgot Joseph, there was somebody who never forgot him. And it's the Most High God. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to pick up, hallelujah, next week, God say the same. And just continue to work this story out. Right? Because God is delivering him. We're going to work this thing out. All right? But you need to be encouraged. Wherever you are right now, God is working for your good. Listen to me. We're going to open up the altars right now. And if you're here, and you would tell me, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm forgiven. I don't know if I'm going to end up in heaven when I die. Listen, this service is all about you today, right? It's all about you. It's all about you understanding that God sent us a Joseph, but his name is Jesus. That he came and he died for the sins of the world. He suffered on that cross. He gave up the ghost and died. Buried in the grave, but on the third day, woo, he rose bodily. Walked among men, was seen of over 500, amen.
And he gave us a promise that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when you call, you got to be real. You got to admit that you're a sinner. God, I'm coming clean. You got to believe with all your heart that Jesus is who he says he is and what he's done. Amen. Written in the Bible. You got to believe that. Right? And then you got to confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. That's the gospel, saints. And that's what our Bible is all about. So you want to do like Joseph. You want to do like the thief on the cross. You want to this morning say, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. You see, because it's a calling time right now. A calling time for salvation and for the Hebrews alike, amen. And you want to say, while on others thou art, don't pass me by, Lord. Don't be saving people around me and not save me. So if you're here this morning, and you would say, I want to make sure that I'm saved. Hallelujah. In a second, the ushers are going to open up these gates and you're going to come. If you're here this morning, the word spoke to you about waiting on the Lord, about him working it out for your good, about anything, amen, that we've talked about in relationship to Joseph, about him releasing those who had done him wrong. And we'll get deeper into that in a few verses. All right? If you heard something that touched your spirit, listen, you can come to the altar as well. Ushers, open up the gates, amen. And while y'all open up the gates, come on in, hallelujah, and get communion ready. We're going to knock it all out. Hallelujah. The altar is open. You can come and pray with Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to do it all. The altar is for you. The altar is for you. If you needed to hear that your gift, it will make room for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What he's placed in you, a need is going to come up. And when that need come up, they're going to call you. Ain't going to better do it without you. Ain't going to better do it without you. It's going to make room for you. It's going to make room for you. Hallelujah. Look at the people of God. My goodness. Look how blessed. Don't y'all forget about your pastor. No. I'm going to hold you tight because y'all blessed. Y'all got a blessing on y'all, man. The favor that's on y'all. My God. Lord, show them what I see. Open their eyes, Daddy. Show them what I see. Oh, God. Oh, God. Woo-hoo. Leaders, champions, owners, blessed. Let's pray. Say, Father, thank you. For being a daddy to me. I admit I've fallen short. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me for all of my sins. But I believe in you. With all my heart, you did die on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And you did rise on the third day. Lord, take my faith and give me your righteousness. Save my soul. And use me for your glory. The rest of my life, I give it to you. Because I know That you have better plans. Lord, work it out. Even when I'm sleeping. Lord, work it out. Even when I'm sitting down. Lord, work it out. Work out all my problems. Because I know you have a better plan. Teach me to wait upon you. Give me patience. Help me to trust you. And Father, allow my gift to make room for me. To bring me before great men and great women. I want to be your Joseph. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! My God. My God. My God. There's something special about this altar call. Something happened. Can't tell you what it is quite just yet. Somebody got heard up in here. Ushers, come. Let's commune. Listen, if you're in this place, you're welcome to have communion with us. If you're not a believer in God and you're just here to play, I would just say, you might want to go get some bread and juice from someplace else. This is a spiritual encounter here. But if you're here and you're real about your God and your faith, take one. Take one. If you're in the audience, we have stations in the back. You can take you one, hallelujah, from those stations. After you get yours, amen, go ahead and return to your seat. We're going to take the bread out together and eat. We're going to drink the cup together. Lastly, we'll sing and dismiss. Don't forget you, Pastor. You hear me, huh, Gabe? Don't forget you, Pastor, man. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget your church. Don't forget us. Because your blessing is coming. It's coming. Don't forget us. Hallelujah. 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 Now you know we had time to dance and have communion. God must have slowed down the time. Chaz, don't forget your pastor, man. When you get your blessing. There we go. There we go. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it. He looked up to heaven and gave thanks. He told his disciples, his people, he said, take this, eat all of it, for this is my body, which is broken for you. He told us, do this in remembrance of me. So that you never forget the passion of the cross. Today, Lord, we remember how much you loved us and died for us. And we pray that you would see us and bless us with your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us eat together. Took the cup, and in the same manner, he told his disciples, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood.
because without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And it was the blood that cured our sin sick souls. If it had not been for the blood, where would we be? We'd still be in our sin. We'd be on our way to hell. We'd be of all men most miserable. But the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, takes our stained souls and washes them white as snow. We thank you for your blood, Jesus. We celebrate it and we remember it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get out of here. Gee. We're going to sing that doxology and get out of here. Hallelujah. All right, saints. Glory. Wow. Oh, no, Prue. What you got? Well, let's do that doxology on three. Hallelujah. One, two, three. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the church says, Amen. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and bless you with peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Woman of God, appreciate you so much.